Welcome to the Hackberry House of Chosun. My name is Bob, and reading today from The Life and Diary of David Brainerd. This is a book put together by Jonathan Edwards, whose words you will hear every once in a while in explaining things that are going on. We're on Monday, January 14, 1745 it is now. He says, "I spent this day under a great degree of bodily weakness and disorder. I had very little freedom, either in my studies or devotions, and in the evening I was much dejected and melancholy. It pains and distresses me that I live so much of my time for nothing. I long to do much in a little time, and if it might be the Lord's will, to finish my work speedily in this tiresome world. I am sure I do not desire to live for anything in this world, and through grace I am not afraid to look the King of Terrors in the face. I know I shall be afraid if God leaves me, and therefore I think it always my duty to lay in for that solemn hour. But for a very considerable time past, my soul has rejoiced to think of death in its nearest approaches, and even when I have been very weak and seemed nearest eternity. Not unto me, not unto me, but to God be the glory. I feel that which convinces me that if God do not enable me to maintain a holy dependence upon him, death will easily be a terror to me. But at present, I must say, I long to depart and to be with Christ, which is the best of all. While I am in a sweet, resigned frame of soul, I am willing to tarry a while in a world of sorrow. I'm willing to be from home as long as God sees fit it should be so. But when I want the influence of this temper, I am then apt to be impatient to be gone. Oh, when will the day appear that I shall be perfect in holiness and in the enjoyment of God?" The next day was spent under a great degree of dejection and melancholy, which, as he himself was persuaded, was owing partly to bodily weakness and vapory disorders. Wednesday and Thursday, January 16 and 17, I spent most of the time in writing on a sweet divine subject and enjoyed some freedom and assistance. Was likewise enabled to pray more frequently and fervently than usual, and my soul, I think, rejoiced in God, especially on the evening of the last of these days. Praise then seemed comely, and I delighted to bless the Lord. Oh, what reason have I to be thankful that God ever helps me to labor and study for him? He does but receive his own when I am enabled in any measure to praise him, labor for him, and live to him. Oh, how comfortable and sweet it is to feel the assistance of divine grace in the performance of the duties God has enjoined us. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Now, the same enlargement of heart and joyful frame of soul continued through the next day. But on the day following it began to decline, which decay seems to have continued the whole of the next week. Yet he enjoyed some seasons of special and sweet assistance. Lord's Day, January 27, had the greatest degree of inward anguish that almost ever I endured. I was perfectly overwhelmed and so confused that after I began to discourse to the Indians, before I could finish a sentence, sometimes I forgot entirely what I was aiming at. Or if, with much difficulty, I had recollected what I had before designed, still it appeared strange, and like something I had long forgotten, and had now but an imperfect remembrance of. I know it was a degree of distraction occasioned by disorders, physical melancholy, a spiritual desertion, and some other things that particularly pressed upon me this morning with an uncommon weight, the principal of which respected my Indians. This distressing gloom never went off the whole day, but was so far removed that I was enabled to speak with some freedom and concern to the Indians at two of their settlements, and I think there was some appearance of the presence of God with us, some seriousness and seeming concern among the Indians, at least a few of them. In the evening this gloom continued till family prayer, about 9 o'clock, almost through this, and until I came near the close, when I was praying, as I usually do, for the illumination and conversion of my poor people. And then the cloud was scattered, so that I enjoyed sweetness and freedom, and conceived hopes that God designed mercy for some of them. The same I enjoyed afterwards in secret prayer, in which precious duty I had for a considerable time sweetness and freedom, and I hope faith in praying for myself, my poor Indians, and dear friends and acquaintance in New England and elsewhere, and for the dear interest of Zion in general. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. He spent the rest of this week, or at least the most of it, under dejection and melancholy, which on Friday rose to an extreme height, he being then, as he himself observes, much exercised with vapory disorders. This exceeding gloominess continued on Saturday till the evening, when he was again relieved in family prayer, and after it was refreshed in secret and felt willing to live and endure hardships in the cause of God. He found his hopes of the advancement of Christ's kingdom, as also his hopes to see the power of God among the poor Indians, considerably raised. Lord's Day, February 3. In the morning I was somewhat relieved of that gloom and confusion that my mind has of late been greatly exercised with, was enabled to pray with some composure and comfort, but, however, went to my Indians trembling, for my soul remembered the wormwood and the gall, I might almost say the hell, of Friday last. And I was greatly afraid I should be obliged again to drink of that cup of trembling, which was inconceivably more bitter than death, and made me long for the grave more, unspeakably more, than for hid treasures. Yea, inconceivably more than the men of this world long for such treasures. But God was pleased to hear my cries, and to afford me great assistance, so that I felt peace in my own soul, and was satisfied that if not one of the Indians should be profited by my preaching, but should all be damned, yet I should be accepted and rewarded as faithful, for I am persuaded God enabled me to be so. I had some good degree of help afterwards at another place, and much longed for the conversion of the poor Indians. Was somewhat refreshed and comfortable towards night and in the evening. Oh, that my soul might praise the Lord for his goodness. Enjoyed some freedom in the evening, in meditation on Luke 13:24, strive to enter in at the straight gate, and so on. In the three next days he was the subject, however, of much dejection. But the three remaining days of the week seemed to have been spent with much composure and comfort. On the next Sabbath he preached at Greenwich in New Jersey. In the evening he rode 8 miles to visit a sick man at the point of death, and found him speechless and senseless. Monday, February 11. About break of day the sick man died. I was affected at the sight, spent the morning with the mourners, and after prayer and some discourse with them I returned to Greenwich and preached again from Psalm 89:15. Blessed is the people that know, and so on. And the Lord gave me assistance. I felt a sweet love to souls and to the kingdom of Christ, and longed that poor sinners might know the joyful sound. Several persons were much affected, and after meeting I was enabled to discourse with freedom and concern to some persons that applied to me under spiritual trouble. Left the place sweetly composed, rode home to my house about 8 miles distant, discoursed to friends, and inculcated divine truths upon some. In the evening was in the most solemn frame that almost I ever remembered to have experienced. I know not that ever death appeared more real to me, or that ever I saw myself in the condition of a dead corpse laid out and dressed for a lodging in the silent grave, so evidently as at this time. And yet I felt exceeding comfortably. My mind was composed and calm, and death appeared without a sting. I think I never felt such a universal mortification to all created objects as now. Oh, how great and solemn a thing it appeared to die! Oh, how it lays the greatest honor in the dust! And oh, how vain and trifling did the riches, honors, and pleasures of the world appear! I could not, I dare not, so much as think of any of them. For death, solemn, though not frightful, death, peered at the door. Oh, I could see myself dead and laid out, and enclosed in my coffin, and put down into the cold grave with the greatest solemnity, but without terror. I spent most of the evening in conversing with a dear Christian friend. Blessed be God, it was a comfortable evening to us both. What are friends? What are comforts? What are sorrows? What are distresses? The time is short. It remains that they which weep be though as though they wept not, and they which rejoice as though they rejoice not, for the fashion of this world passeth away. Oh, come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Amen. Blessed be God for the comforts of the past day. Tuesday, February 12, was exceeding weak, but in a sweet, resigned, composed frame most of the day, felt my heart freely go forth after God in prayer. Wednesday, February 13, was much exercised with vapory disorders, but still enabled to maintain solemnity and, I think, spirituality. Thursday, February 14, spent the day in writing on a divine subject, enjoyed health and freedom in my work, had a solemn sense of death, as I have indeed had every day this week in some measure. What I felt on Monday last has been abiding in some considerable degree ever since. I'd like to interrupt here just a moment to explain vapory disorders that he keeps talking about. You read that and you think it has something to do with a runny nose or something liquidy. But in archaic usage, and I'm reading simply from Wikipedia, and I know nothing of these things. In archaic usage, the vapors is a reference to certain mental or physical states, such as hysteria, which is not our friend here, mania, no, clinical depression, bipolar disorder, lightheadedness, fainting, flush, withdrawal symptoms, mood swings, where a sufferer would lose mental focus. We know that that certainly describes David Brainerd. He had something that would probably be classified as that today. It's from the enemy. We're not taking away from his realization that he's under attack. It's one of the many attacks that the enemy has on various people throughout the world. And the interesting thing is there's no psychologist, psychiatrist around to give him medication. There's nobody, not that that would be a good thing, I'm just saying. He had no way to diagnose or treat what he had, but he keeps on going, where many of us would have just stopped, just gone ahead and died. The good thing, of course, about a Christian is that when he thinks about death, he thinks about happy things, not forlorn things. I hope you're understanding that with David also. Well, let's get back. Friday, February 15. Was engaged in writing again almost the whole day, and the evening was much assisted in meditating on that precious text, John 7:37, where Jesus stood and cried, and so on. I had then a sweet sense of the free grace of the gospel. My soul was encouraged, warmed, and quickened. My desires were drawn out after God in prayer, and my soul was watchful, afraid of losing so sweet a guest as I then entertained. I continued long in prayer and meditation, intermixing one with the other, and was unwilling to be diverted by anything at all from so sweet an exercise. I longed to proclaim the grace that I then meditated upon to the world of sinners. Oh, how quick and powerful is the word of the blessed God. The next day he complains of great conflicts with corruption, much discomposure of mind. Lord's Day, February 17. Preached to the white people, my interpreter being absent, in the wilderness upon the sunny side of a hill. Had a considerable assembly, consisting of people who lived, at least many of them, not less than 30 miles asunder. Some of them came near 20 miles. I discoursed to them all day from John 7:37, where Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst," and so on. In the afternoon it pleased God to grant me great freedom and fervency in my discourse, and I was enabled to imitate the example of Christ in the text, who stood and cried. I think I was scarce ever enabled to offer the free grace of God to perishing sinners with more freedom and plainness in my life. Afterwards, I was enabled earnestly to invite the children of God to come renewedly and drink of this fountain of water of life from whence they have heretofore derived unspeakable satisfaction. It was a very comfortable time to me. There were many tears in the assembly, and I doubt not but that the Spirit of God was there, convincing poor sinners of their need of Christ. In the evening I felt composed and comfortable, though much tired. I had some sweet sense of the excellency and glory of God, and my soul rejoiced that He was God over all, blessed forever. It was too much crowded with company and conversation, and longed to be more alone with God. Oh, that I could bless forever, bless God, for the mercy of this day, who answered me in the joy of my heart. The remainder of this week seems to have been spent under a decay of this life and joy, and in distressing conflicts with corruption, but not without some seasons of refreshment and comfort. Lord's Day, February 24. In the morning was much perplexed. My interpreter being absent, I knew not how to perform my work among the Indians. However, I rode to them and got a Dutchman to interpret for me, though he was but poorly qualified for the business. Afterwards I came and preached to a few white people from John 6:67, then said Jesus unto the 12, and so on. Here the Lord seemed to unburden me in some measure, especially towards the close of my discourse. I felt freedom to open the love of Christ to His own dear disciples. When the rest of the world forsakes Him and are forsaken by Him, that He calls them no more, he then turns to His own and says, "Will you also go away?" I had a sense of the free grace of Christ to His own people in such seasons of general apostasy, and when they themselves in some measure backslide with the world. Oh, the free grace of Christ, that He seasonably reminds His people of their danger of backsliding and invites them to persevere in their adherence to Himself. I saw that backsliding souls who seemed to be about to go away with the world might return and welcome to Him immediately, without anything to recommend them, notwithstanding all their former backslidings. And thus my discourse was suited to my own soul's case, for of late I have found a great need of this sense and apprehension of divine grace, and have often been greatly distressed in my own soul, because I did not suitably apprehend this fountain to purge away sin, and to have been too much laboring for spiritual life, peace of conscience, and progressive holiness in my own strength. But now God showeth me, in some measure, the arm of all strength and the fountain of all grace. In the evening I felt solemn, devout, sweet, resting on free grace for assistance, acceptance, and peace of conscience. Within the space of the next 9 days, he had frequent refreshing, invigorating influences of God's Spirit, attended with complaints of dullness and with longings after spiritual life and holy fervency. Wednesday, March 6, spent most of the day in preparing for a journey to New England. Spent some time in prayer with a special reference to my intended journey. Was afraid I should forsake the fountain of living waters and attempt to derive satisfaction from broken cisterns, my dear friends and acquaintance, with whom I might meet in my journey. I looked to God to keep me from this vanity, as well as others. Towards night and in the evening was visited by some friends, some of whom I trust were real Christians, who discovered an affectionate regard to me, and seemed grieved that I was about to leave them, especially seeing I did not expect to make any considerable stay among them if I should live to return from New England. Oh, how kind God has been to me! How has He raised up friends in every place where His providence has called me! Friends are a great comfort. It is God that gives them. It is He makes them friendly to me. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all His benefits. Well, the next day he set out on his journey, and it was about 5 weeks before he returned. Now, the special design of this journey, he himself declared afterward, in his diary from March 21, where speaking of his conversing with a certain minister in New England, he says, "Contrived with him how to raise some money among Christian friends in order to support a colleague with me in the wilderness. I having now spent 2 years in a very solitary manner, that we might be together, as Christ sent out his disciples 2 and 2. And as this was the principal concern I had in view in taking this journey, so I took pains in it, and hope God will succeed it, if for his glory." He first went into various parts of New Jersey and visited several ministers there. Then he went to New York, from thence into New England, going to various parts of Connecticut. He then returned into New Jersey and met a number of ministers at Woodbridge, who, he says, met there to consult about the affairs of Christ's kingdom in some important articles. He seems for the most part to have been free from melancholy in this journey, and many times to have had extraordinary assistance in public ministrations, and his preaching sometimes attended with very hopeful appearances of a good effect on the auditory. He also had many seasons of special comfort and spiritual refreshment in conversation with ministers and other Christian friends, and also in meditation and prayer when alone. Well, we will see what comes of this attempt to raise money for him and a friend. We will see where that leads us. We'll be ending, Lord willing, part 6 in our next session together. Thank you for joining me. I'd like to speak again to those in real time that tomorrow will be David Livingstone, and then we'll do David again 2 days later on Sunday, and Lord willing, that will be the end of our work with David Livingstone. I'm contemplating what to do next, and one thing that's happened as I've gotten so very far behind in my Romans studies, not in the studies, but in the speaking of them, I'm way ahead in the writing. So I'll want to spend an inordinate amount of time for a few days anyway, trying to get caught up. We will do Brainerd and Romans and Brainerd and Romans and Romans and Brainerd for a while. And then I have something else in mind, but I'll tell you about that later. Lord bless you today. Do look around the website. There's so much there. I've got the works of several great men of God, their stories along with their words. I have North Korea audios by the hundreds, literally, in Korean and in English. I have studies on the Quran and Muhammad and much about Bible prophecy, end time in particular, through the Bible, commentaries, and more, much, much more. Please browse. Look at the bookstore also, and see if you might want to purchase something rather than copying out all the blogs that I put on. Every time I do one of my own works, I put a blog with it. But that's a lot of paper and a lot of work, and might be just as easy to buy the book. I get very, very little profit on that, except to know that you are reading the book. It makes me, any author, feel very good. God bless you today. And this is the Hackberry House of Chosun. Lord willing, we will talk real soon. Bye-bye.